Welcome back to His Time. I'm your host, Andy Bates, and it is time to check in with Jane Wilkie from Lutheran Senior Services. Good morning, Jane.
Good morning, Andy. It is always a pleasure to be here. I always love talking about all that Lutheran Senior Services has to offer, and you are such a great host to be able to just chat about all of the resources and and really help it to make sense to the listener.
Well, that's what the point of this segment is all about, isn't it? Thank you for the nice compliment.
You're very welcome.
The purpose of the segment is to help our listeners understand what Lutheran Senior Services has to offer, and not just LSS, but what types of services are available in general for seniors as well. You always do a fine job of helping us understand things that we need to consider for the seniors in our lives.
And speaking of those seniors in your lives, do you know what the most often asked question is?
What defines a senior?
Well, no, actually, that probably is the most often. I should probably qualify it. I do not know if this is the most often asked question, but a frequently asked question.
An FAQ, a frequently asked question.
An FAQ. So it is, do you have to be Lutheran to live in a Lutheran Senior Services community? Do you have to be Lutheran to be a patient helped by LSS hospice care? Do you have to be a Lutheran to have home health come to your home through Lutheran Senior Services? And Andy, what do you think the answer is?
I would think no, but you sure will get to know some of them.
You surely will, absolutely. No, you are absolutely right. The answer is no. In fact, many people are surprised to find out that while the percentage does vary a little bit year from year, right now our current percentage of Lutherans that live in our continuing care retirement communities is only 23% of our residents are Lutheran. At 17% are Catholic. And so that means about 40% of our base of residents that we serve are Lutheran or Catholic, and that means 60% come from all walks of life and different faith traditions and beliefs. But what we do find is that there are people who love the fact that we are Lutheran Senior Services because they automatically know not only then are we a not-for-profit, mission-oriented organization, but we also are faith-based. Mm-hmm. In fact, we actually call it faith-inspired, mission-driven, because we think about that term faith-based, and it can feel like, well, 50 years ago when we started, it was based in that, but it's not ongoing. But at Lutheran Senior Services, it really is ongoing, because it is our goal to create environments where older adults, and to qualify that, 62 years and older, older adults can thrive and can maximize their potential physically, socially, emotionally, intellectually, and spiritually. And of course, we know that research says that when you take a look at maximizing life in all of those areas, you have the most successful aging. That's what all of the research says, especially a large research project done by MacArthur Foundation, says that when you focus on those dimensions of wellness, you really do have the most successful aging. And for Lutheran Senior Services, you automatically know from our name that we are faith-based, mission-driven, faith-inspired. And also then it would behoove us to really hold that central as a core value of what we provide for spiritual care. And we have invested quite a bit of that, quite a bit in that, because it is really at the core of what we do.
Sure.
So for us, you may or may not be aware that we have 18 chaplains that are part of Lutheran Senior Services. So depending on the size of our community, we may have two chaplains that work there full time. We might have one chaplain at Laclede Groves in Webster Groves. That's like its own little small town.
Sure.
There are between 750 and 800 residents that live there. There are some people listening in our audience that maybe their whole town is 200. That's more people just living in that Laclede Groves community. So supporting that large of a community, we have our full-time chaplain, also director of pastoral care, but then we also have seminary students, deaconess students, many of whom are working through Concordia Seminary, but many of which also are part of our clinical pastoral education program. And that's something that not a lot of people know about either. It's CPE, mm-hmm. Clinical Pastoral Education. And we actually have a site here at Laclede Groves. It's an accredited site for teaching CPE. So every year we also have students that are enrolled in that. And in the clinical pastoral education program, it's one of the main focuses, of course, is to prepare you, many of which that go through the CPE program may want to be chaplains in what we call an institutional setting. Mm-hmm. So maybe they become a chaplain to older adults in either our organization or another organization that serves the spiritual needs. Maybe they become a chaplain in a hospital. But mainly, you don't have to come through this program to just simply become a chaplain. It really does help you build your skills in really that whole idea of pastoral care, of really taking a look at how to become that counselor, that pastor, zero in on your pastoral care. It also walks you through kind of assessing how you approach, how does your personality work in helping and assisting and giving pastoral care to others. So there's that outward focus of how to give pastoral care, mm-hmm. of how to take theology and bring it to that place of speaking to the individual needs that you have. And then also an inward focus. How can I be better equipped to do that? So our clinical pastoral education graduates then go on. Maybe they go back into their own congregation. Maybe they are working part-time. Maybe they go into full-time chaplaincy, but it's really a focus on helping them become better equipped for that clinical pastoral education. And we have that site right here at Laclede Groves and Webster Groves. So that spiritual care is really primarily at our focus.
And when we hear chaplain, quite often we think of a pastor or ordained minister, and that makes up probably the majority of the chaplains. Mm-hmm. But if I understand correctly, there are also some others who work in that department as well, who help out in serving the members of the communities.
Right. We have most especially deaconess. So right now we have a full-time chaplain at Merrimack Bluffs, Deaconess Gail Truesdell, and mm-hmm. she works really most specifically with our skilled nursing residents there. Recently, Deaconess Karen Pitkin retired as chaplain at Breese Park. And in those cases, like, for example, when Deaconess Karen was a chaplain at Breese Park, one of the great benefits of that is forming those relationships with those pastors who are at the Lutheran congregations surrounding that St. Charles area and bringing them in mm-hmm. then to do the services, especially those services that involved the Holy Sacrament.
Sure.
But we also then also have one of our chaplains for our program for affordable housing is a DCE by training. Mm-hmm. So she came through the DCE program, and then she also is trained especially in hospice care. And so she knows a lot about those very, very important times that come. Mm-hmm. The older we get, the more we start to take a look at our life, and we take a look at meaning and purpose, and sure. we start to ask those questions. Having been through and dealing as a chaplain specifically for hospice, she's very well equipped and talking with our seniors about those questions that come, because oftentimes at that time of your life, you do start to take another look at your faith mm-hmm. and what we're facing and the difficult questions that come with that. So our chaplains are there to offer that spiritual care for everyone. That comes through their doors. They're there for our employees as well. We actually have something that we have at Lutheran Senior Services for our staff called the Christ Care Fund. So what that fund is, it's donations are collected by many of our staff people, and many of our residents contribute to it. And that's a that's something that is set aside and it's managed by our chaplains. So if our own employees deal with a situation, face something that is a financial burden to them that was not anticipated, that we can also help out there. So whether it's a listening ear or pastoral care or actual financial assistance, our chaplains are there for our residents, our families, and our staff.
That's great to have that support on staff mm-hmm. for all of those.
It is. And along those lines, I wanted to just share a devotion mm-hmm. on the graying hairs. It's kind of a tie a bow around our time together this morning. And actually, it is based on Psalm 71, verses 18 to 19. Even when I am old and gray, do not forsake me, my God, till I declare your power to the next generation, your mighty acts to all who are to come. Your righteousness, God, reaches to the heavens. You who have done great things, who is like you, God? And the author writes, the old gray mare, she ain't what she used to be. Remember that song? I liked it better before I discovered thin lines of silver streaking my once brown tresses. The writer of Psalm 71 faces facts. Hoary heads happen. Knowing that, the writer also asks a favor of God. Don't forsake me. While many in our culture think of growing older as a negative thing, the person who wrote this psalm lived at a time when graying hair brought respect. The psalmist sees this respect as an opening to share the Lord's love. He implores God to give him this opportunity. As God adds years to our lives, he also adds the power of perspective. We can look back and see God's faithfulness at work year by year. We can remember the many ways he has revealed his goodness to us throughout our lives. Then we can more convincingly encourage the next generation in our Lord's faithful love. Maybe that's why God keeps us here long after gray locks send us scrambling to the hair color aisle. We're the people who get to pass on the faith, beginning with those in our own families, our struggling daughter, that wayward son, those precious grandchildren. No children or grandchildren? Then find that young mother at church, the latchkey child next door. The free gift of salvation through Jesus' saving death must be passed on. Those times you've wrestled with God in prayer, the blessed relief of sins forgiven, share, share, share. Does perfection come with gray hair? Unfortunately, no. Sin still attacks. Doubts still sneak in. Loneliness worries us, but we've been there before, and we know the one word answer, Jesus. In that name, we find a beauty granted us by our King and renewed purpose for our lives in his calling to pass it on. We end with prayer. Dear Jesus, even as you enfold me in your grace, enable me to reflect your beauty in the lives of those around me, especially younger generations. Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you, Jane. Great to talk with you.
We'll see you again next week.
Have a great week.